Chuck Condrill is here this morning. Thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Last night was the second reading and kind of fleshed out more information having to do with priorities as far as the city of Bryan is concerned about helping a four-star boutique hotel come in out by the Health Science Center. The whole package ends up being, as I understand it, $8.25 million. Now, part of that is going to come from hotel motel, and then part of it is going to come basically as a tax abatement. Would that be a fair way to describe that?
Not completely. It's not helping a hotel. It's helping a conference center and a town center. So it's very important to understand that. If you have a few different parts of that deal. $2.4 million is going to go in to the developer that is building a hotel, but the $2.4 million is to build a conference center, not a hotel. In addition to that, you have $3.6 million going to a greater town center. So think Woodlands type town center. And the developer there, which is a separate developer, $3.6 million could go to them with another $200,000 reimbursing general fund.
Let me interrupt you for a second. Okay, so you've got the hotel developer, and then you've got the basic town center developer. Is that developer under the same umbrella as the hotel developer?
Well, the hotel developer is Atlas, which is a separate entity. And then TAP, which is Traditions and the City of Bryan as partners, is the town center developer. And a really important, and this is very crucial thing to understand about this deal, is that any money going to them is a rebate of the increase in the tiers. So what that means, Scott, is I've got to build a conference center. I've got to build a town center. The hotel will be being built also. When those things are up, when they're running, when they're paying taxes into the tiers, and the tiers value increases with enough money to then rebate the money agreed to if the development agreements are performed to the letter of the law. So we have development agreements. You got to jump through these hoops. When you do, and you've increased the money in the tiers, you can get rebated this amount of money, which means we're never really writing a check in advance. We're not going out into debt. We're not providing bonds. Tiers 8, which is the Copperfield area, is a huge success. That was money that the city went into debt to finance. In this case, after the fact, after the money's been paid by the developers, they can be potentially rebated up to $2.4 million on the conference center and $3.6 million on the Atlas with $200,000 reimbursing general fund.
But there's a level of gamble here.
Not on the taxpayer's part. So let's say they build these things and they fail. The taxpayer doesn't write a dime, check for a dime, because, again, the tiers value has to be increased and then they're paid.
I feel, and again, I'm glad that Chuck is here today because you're also a representative on the CVB board. And so that ends up really kind of playing into this because, and I don't have a problem with the hot money going into some sort of a development because that's not Bryan residents that are paying that generally. That's going to be people from out of town. But by the same token, and I guess you've run this by the state folks, this is all fitting within. There's not going to be challenges to the money being used for that purpose. Is that basically fair to say?
So that's a separate amount of money that I didn't just go over. Up to $2.25 million over 10 years could potentially be rebated if the hotel promotes the conference center and the area. So if you're Dr. Brett Girard and you want a biomedical corridor booming and you want to bring in PhDs and scientists and people, I mean, think about it. They could potentially be curing cancer and AIDS in Bryan College Station, Bio Corridor. If you're bringing in people wanting to promote the area, that's what that money can be rebated to do. So in other words, right now, no hot tax money. They're not given any hot tax money. A hotel has to be built. People have to stay in it. People have to have conferences at the conference center. They've got to spend money at the town center. The tiers value goes up, and hot tax is collected. And then only from hot tax collected in that area could potentially be rebated up to $2.25 million over 10 years.
Okay, and I hate to get so far out in the weeds, but the purpose of being able to talk in an extended period is to do this. Is there a situation where hot money will go to the developer of the area, not the hotel? In other words, if there's a shopping center, if there's a city center.
No. Hot tax can only be used. The rebating of hot tax can only be used to promote the area. So not, you know, and promoting the area means putting heads in beds. So letting people know you have a conference center. I don't know if that's going to be the only hotel out there with the.
But there's going to be commercial out there. There'll be retail out there as well, right? That's fair to say?
Sure.
Okay. So no developer of a retail shopping center within that area would receive any hot funds?
No.
Okay.
Now, he might piggyback off, just like anyone else piggybacks off, hot tax promoting their area.
Sure. Now, the question then came up, and I know the James Franks was there last night, who's the general manager of the Hilton and Hilton College Station, and I think he brought up a fair point, and that is that all hoteliers would like to be able to share that piece of pie. So now I ask you, not only as a council member, but also on the board of CVB, is this something that's viable? I'd like to get your thoughts on the comments that that James Franks made last night.
So James Franks was concerned about the incentivizing of a hotel. It's very important to understand money is not being given to incentivize a hotel. Money could possibly be rebated if performance requirements are met for a conference center and for a town center. Now, the argument many have made, and I don't want to put words in James Frank's mouth, but I'll just put it in the mouths of many. Many have said, we've got hotels coming to the area anyway. That's an interesting term, coming to the area. I wasn't elected in the area. I was elected in Bryan, Texas. So guess where I hold loyalty? To Bryan and then to the area. I want these hotels in Bryan. I've been told 1,654 rooms are coming to the area. How many of those are coming to Bryan? I'm a Bryan city councilman. I think by far the majority of those rooms are going to College Station. Not all of them, but the majority are coming to College Station. Because, due to the hard work of many, including the CVB board that I'm on, a $450 million stadium is being built in College Station. So that's a big advantage. In Bryan, we don't have people beating down the doors to build four-star hotels. We have to think out of the box a little bit. The developer of the hotel here did talk to all of the major flags, and all of them think it's a great idea with conjunction with the biomedical corridor and the area growing like it is. However, none of them were ready to move forward with putting a flag out in West Bryan. These guys were. So we are, in Bryan, thinking out of the box a little bit and retroactively rebating money after a successful hotel generates money to those people. The loan that they were able to succeed in getting in building this $500 million area is dependent on the rebate of those funds from the city of Bryan. So some would say that this would come here anyway. In fact, some said that last night in the meeting. That's a farce. No one else was building a $500 million hotel, conference center, and town center in West Bryan. These people are. And to get them there and for their loans to qualify and for us to land the deal, we had to think out of the box a little bit. Now, if you look at the rebate, let's round up. Let's call it an $8.5 million rebate. And then let's round down and say that the construction value is estimated to be $500 million to $700 million. Let's just call it $500 million. That's 1.2% of the value of the construction value. Now, when the appraisal district gets a hold of it, you and I both know, because of our house values, that probably won't be $500 million. It'll be a little more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it's $500 million, though, for the sake of being very, very conservative. We're at about 1.2% of the value in potential rebate. So we're not writing a check. We're not going into debt. This was out-of-the-box thinking. This is what landed this incredible win for Bryan. Now, if you look at property tax value and the rate we just passed, 0.062 blank, 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 blank percent last night, that's about $3.1 million a year forever. Just in property tax, Scott. That doesn't count the hot value, the sales tax, or any other money that's being dropped out there by the people in that.
But how long's the abatement on the front end? I mean, how much money will we be getting? How is that? That right now, I guess, is just that's undeveloped land. Is that right? Is that basically what we're talking about from a tax standpoint?
Cow right? Pastures.
Okay. All right. So now, but there's no tax break for those people on the front end, as far as go ahead.
No, that's that. Thank you for asking that question. They have to come in at their own risk with their own money and build the hotel, the conference center, the town center. Then when they have paid taxes, which they will do day one, when they pay taxes in the amount that the Tiers 10 can afford it, first in line is the general fund for the city of Bryan. They get a $200,000 reimbursement for all the time of staff took to get this done. Second in line, further in that line will be the hotel and conference center. The conference center at $2.4 million rebate up to that amount, and 3.6 for the town center. So no, front end, no money.
All right, and who investigates and how often do they look at the books, the Tiers 10? who looks at the books and how often?
Well, like any tiers, you have a board. Right. They meet, I believe, twice a year, but you've got city staff. We've got Lindsay Gindy and her staff in the city of Bryan are always looking at tiers performance. We've got a CFO, Joe Hegwood. I mean, there's plenty of eyes on that.
Okay. Just answer questions for people.
Sure.
Let's finish up with the budget, then I want to talk about stuff that's outside council. Then you also passed a budget of $379 million, which is, I know we've talked about the firefighter positions and that sort of thing, and so we know about the people there. What other positions do you have as far as funding is concerned besides first responders in there?
Well, I mean, as far as increasing or decreasing,
right. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty stagnant. I mean, you've got a few little things going on with, some more increased funding for the animal shelter for the Bryan Animal Center. Interestingly enough, with regard to our budget, and you look at the 379 figure, some of the money being spent in BTU right now is to build wind energy, so alternative energy. That helps with federal credits as far as what they want to see. But it also helps takes the load off of your typical grid. So when you look at when the rate that ERCOT is paying for electricity, this is just more production that the BTU can now put forward and sell at a high sell when the money is good to sell, and then when we want to, we could supplement our production capability with wind power, so that can take some money off the grid. Take some pressure off of the grid that we currently have to make electricity. Gosh, I'm sorry. I'm
that's right. Well, the thing is, you know, people make money.
If BTU
can get out on the market and sell their excess energy, that's a great thing.
And that extra money that it makes goes toward the rate, so the rate payer of BTU wins.
Sure.
In addition to that, in the budget last night, where there's about another $200,000 has been given to Parks and Rec. Now, clearly, there's been some arguments back and forth among council, but all seven council members, I think I could say, want to see our Parks and Recs become a center, a bragging point for the city of Bryan. When we came in, when I was elected in 2010, Parks and Recs were something that the budget was cut on, and we were financially not where we needed to be with reserve and that sort of thing. Right now, we're there. In fact, the financial state of the city of Bryan is doing very well right now, with TMPA debt to be killed in 2019, as a matter of fact. That's about 17% of what you pay on your rate right now
wow.
to you customers.
Hey, rate cut coming, folks. You heard it here first.
That's right. Provided fuel and everything else stays the same. That's right.
Now, this is the first time we've had a chance to talk to you since really, the entire super park question came up. If I recall correctly, you were one of the members of council who was kind of not on board a super park yet because you had not seen any plans for that. Well, now we've seen some plans. So as one member of council, I'd like to get your thoughts on development. Where does it need to happen and what kind of a timeline?
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm not on board with, I don't have the keys in my pocket to go shut down Bryan Muni, and I'm not going out with a shovel for a groundbreaking ceremony for the super park. I think this is something that, I hate to point fingers, but I would say that folks ran really quick with stories, but the seven council members were scratching their heads somewhat, at least I was, and we don't have all the information yet. We've seen three different renderings, and they're rough renderings of what a super park might look like. One was really all Parks and Rec related, all fields, all parking lots, and what you need drainage and so on to have such a thing on 117 acres. I say 117 acres. The super park renderings were drawn out as though they were at Muni.
Mm-hmm.
The council direction is look at all of our inventory of Parks and Rec land and land in the city of Bryan, and to study what these potential uses could be. We had a consultant back several golf courses ago say that Bryan Muni was the highest and best land for that use for that land. We've had some golf courses added to the community since. Bryan Muni right now is operating at a deficit. Well, it's a park, and some would say a golf course shouldn't necessarily try to make money, but there are municipal courses that are making money. So there's a lot of questions that remain in my head. Do we put the money into Bryan Muni and put maybe a restaurant pad or two out there and increase the rates of the golf round so that it comes closer to meeting in the black, and maybe even with the restaurant could even be in the black or just lose less money? Do we do that? That's a rhetorical question. I don't know yet. Do we build a super park? Well, gosh, that's really expensive. But as a member of the CVB board, I see what Veterans Park is doing for College Station. I see the amount of people that are coming in for that with the amount of money, hot money and taxes that generates. And so I see the advantages of both sides. Right now, it's more along the lines of let's hear back from those that are looking into our parks land, what they could be used for, where we could potentially maybe put a super park, or do you do it all in one area? There's a lot of questions right now. I know for me, I'm not ready to vote on anything. I have probably 40% of the data I need at this point to make a decision on that. And that's a decision that will be coming in the future, I think, decisions that will be affected. But it's certainly not anything that we have the information to vote on today.
Sure. Chuck Condrell joining us. That's pretty much the questions I've got. Anything you want to cover?
Well, I did want to remind people that the tax rate, when you look at the tax rate, is technically called an increase because property values are increased. Mm-hmm. The tax rate is not an increase itself. Also wanted to mention that the Texas Reds Festival is coming up September 27th, 28th. That's a Saturday, Sunday this year. TexasRedsFestival.com. You can get more information on that. If you have a nonprofit group, you want to raise money, it's a great way to go in there and do it because we are looking for... We're looking for volunteers to come, and they can earn money for their nonprofit. And then I don't know, do we have time to talk about the petition on the ballot in November?
Sure, go ahead. Yeah.
I think it's important, you know, in the media it's a really hard thing to say quickly. So people say, well, it's a charter amendment for increased ethics and that sort of thing. It's real easy to say those one-sentence deals. I want everyone to understand that the petition means a few things that I, as a councilman, are going to have to look at really hard. And one is, if you are a relative of someone on council to the third degree to include separation by marriage, you'll be losing your job if this petition passes. It's no fault of your own. Currently, the Attorney General says if you're related to a person up to the third separation, you can't be hired by counsel, and we go by the Attorney General's rules. To say that Brian's ethics policy is behind the state of Texas or even College Station is inaccurate. I, as a council member, have five appointees that are not under Keene Register, my city manager. None of them can be related to me up to the third degree. This charter amendment seeks to go beyond that and say that anyone in the city on boards, commissions, volunteers, or in paid positions, anyone in the city or BTU could lose their job if it passes. I think that's unconstitutional that you would have a job. You could be, you know, 2-3 years away from getting retirement. And then because you are related to me in a third degree, you lose your job. And I think that people understand that is what this petition says.
Do any of those situations exist right now, to your knowledge?
We have staff looking into how many they exist. There are a lot. You have seven council members in a town this size, the third degree of affinity, and we all know Kevin Bacon to the sixth degree. Yeah, that's a lot of people, Scott. Okay. A lot of people are going to lose their job.
When
no
will
fault
you get that report from staff?
I'm not sure. It's a hard one to get. You know, how do you get that report? Do you say, hey, everybody raise your hand if you're related to any of the council members?
Well, I mean, I don't want you coming on here saying a lot. Because, I mean, if that, in fact, is true that there are a lot of people involved, then we probably ought to quantify that.
Sure. Well, a lot to me is one is a lot. I think the figure is going to be a lot more than that. I know that a couple of council members have relatives employed by BTU. They'll be losing their job. The bigger point I want to make here, even if it were just one, is that is it fair that you have a job that you're performing well and doing your job and you lose that job because a charter amendment says that somehow you're third degree away of separation, let's say you're related to me, the third degree, you might not even know that, mm-hmm. and you lose your job.
Right.
That's probably going to be in court for a long, long time. When you have a $250 contribution to a council member's campaign, you'll no longer be able to be represented by that council member, essentially. That subverts the Texas and the United States Constitution. And whether or not you're in office and you endorse another person using your office is on the petition as well. We have council members right now with YouTube videos saying to vote for charter amendments or vote for other candidates, that sort of thing. I mean, Al Sines says vote for Irma Colley in the last election. I believe that that's Al's constitutional right for free speech. This charter amendment is making all three of these things happen. So relatives up to the third degree of affinity to include separation of marriage lose their job. That is unprecedented. That is not anywhere else in existence. And to say that this charter amendment is simply bringing Brian's code of ethics up to par with everyone else is a farce. And I know people that will be losing their job, and it's very upsetting to think that this could happen basically off of a charter amendment. It's easy to say Brian's code of ethics are behind, and we're just trying to update him with a charter amendment. This charter amendment goes far and beyond, is far overreaching, and it absolutely, I think, will be deemed unconstitutional by what it does. People losing their jobs just by being related to others, people not being able to have representation because they donated to a campaign, and people not being able to have their First Amendment right to speech as an office holder and say who they think would do a good job in office. And I wanted to bring that up because the media, in the shortage of time you have, and I really appreciate your time this morning, it's easy to gloss over these things. But this is the meat of the matter, and this is what this charter amendment is about. So I'll be voting against it.
Okay. That's why we do what we do. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Scott.
That's Chuck Condrilla from the Bryan City Council in place of the mayor. And while we're talking about Bryan City Council, Rafael Pena will join us tomorrow in this segment.